Welcome to Listener's Questions, September 2020. Oh, a little creak there. Didn't mean to do the creak.
That's your knee.
Sounds like Anna's body right now, basically. We're talking about, we're both going to have a little moan about our gym aches. I'm like old ladies, like, ooh.
Are we actually those people now? Ooh. We used to drink wine and now we moan about the gym.
On this month's Listener's Questions, we talk about breakups, lockdown wins. We have facts about okra and ugly fruit. An emotional insight into life being gluten-free. And we go worldwide.
We do. Very worldwide. Far-fetched.
It's very exciting, but you know what we're about to say now, don't you?
If you don't, where have you been?
Yeah. Do you know what? We'll give a little pause so you can say it to yourself. All those people who are listening to us on your own right now, you've got three little words that you're going to say to yourself as loud as you want. Cue the ukuleles. So I have to be very serious right now, Anna.
Do you?
Yes, we need to take the smile off our faces.
She has turned her chair towards me, looking at me in quite a threatening manner.
I've also done like the triangle pose with my hands.
What's
like,
that mean?
This feels like what presenters do. Actually, Tony Wilson, if you know him as a presenter, he used to do a lot of the triangle pose, very power pose. Yes, I hear what you're saying, and I'd like to go into more detail. No, I'm in a silly mood, but we have had some complaints.
Oh, God.
I mean, basically...
it's about your wind again?
It's not.
No.
It's about the fact there's just too much fun in this podcast.
Really?
There's far too much smiling. There's far too much laughing. And frankly, it's affecting people's lives as they listen to us.
It's causing them havoc.
Yep. I mean, it's causing embarrassment. It's causing shame. You know, people don't want to be soloed out. Mm-hmm. They're walking down the street innocently and then they look like they're absolute mad people. So, frankly, you've got to cut this fun out.
Okay, got to stop being funny and stop saying stupid stuff.
No, we've got a ton of people who have said a variety of things at the extent of our silliness in recent podcasts, from saving a butterfly to Anna nearly wetting herself on a bike. All of these, which has been much entertainment. I'm genuinely intrigued as to know what on earth Anna is going to provide for entertainment today.
Can I just tell you something, though? As a consultant, we get the news fed up to us on our screen and the podcast comes up, and I clicked on the podcast for my first week live in group or the week before, and all it said was Anna gets her leg over, and I was just like, where have they been? What have they been watching? So yes, I may come
I mean
up
I
some
wrote
positive.
That
yeah I know, but I hadn't realized it was going public.
Oh no, I specifically wrote that because there's this thing, right? The first four words of a description of a podcast counts, so you've got to make the first four words stand out enough to make people want to click see more.
So does that mean we're getting people who think our podcast is now more about getting another leg over than me getting the leg over on the bike? Because now we're in a... It's quite worrying. What have you opened us up to?
Dude, that was so confusing. Even you didn't know what you just said.
No, I did, but then I stopped myself. Oh, gosh. Right, should we get back to it?
So I'm Claire. She's Anna. This is Slimming World Podcast. We are officially sponsored by Slimming World. We do this Listener's Questions episode once a month where we open up the post bag and see what you guys have been posting via Pigeon, email, DMs into Instas. Via the Slimming World blog and all kinds of different places that you get in touch with us. And we go through some of your wins, your comments, your celebrations, some of your shout outs, some of your helps, and also some deeper questions as well. And we kind of, it's good for us to reflect on your thoughts, your thinking, any of your light bulb moments on the subjects that we have talked about over the last month. And also, I guess, just to like kind of capture where people are, because September 2020, we've mentioned this on the previous episodes, it's a bit of a weird time.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to take into consideration that many of you could be listening to this episode not in September 2020, which slightly blows our mind, but we can all we can do is tell you where we're at in our lives right now. And, you know, groups reopening. So I mentioned last week, I went back to group for the first time since March.
Well done. I went back to group since the first time since March. It was scary, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
Wasn't it? You see, I was scared from the other side of, will the buttons I press work? But, you know, I got filled with that scared, but then it soon went into, oh, it's so nice to be back and see everyone.
No, I just thought it was just, it was nice. It's like a couple of people sent us messages here, like Kath says, don't be scared. It's so wonderful seeing everyone again. And remember, you're worth more than what you weigh. You know, like the glitter auntie sent a message saying, wonderful to be back in the room and get all that lovely support in person. I just was so glad just to be like, someone else deal with the scales.
Them
scales are like, you know, I'm not even looking at them. We've still got them in the house, but I'm not bothered. Yeah. I'm so glad to pass that responsibility to somebody else.
It's very interesting. When we saw people, obviously my group's very different, lots more sessions, how some had that, oh my gosh, what a relief I got away with it. Some were like, oh my God, my bathroom scales were so off. Mm. And a lot of people just saying, I just need your scales once a week to just be like, oh, this is it. But also then, as I get off the scales, I need the support, which is really nice. Whereas in your bathroom, you don't always have that, do you? Someone there championing you. So it was so beautiful to see everyone.
Yeah. And just get a, you know, to get a couple of new recipes as well. There was like, someone mentioned this amazing tofu cauliflower curry.
Ooh.
That sounded really simple, and so I went home that night and went and cooked it.
Did you?
That's the kind of thing that, you know, when you're just like, boom, I just
need one idea
out of image therapy and boom, I'm going.
And it sets you up, doesn't it?
Really does. You're back on the wagon.
Yeah.
The wheels are turning. There's some kind of phrase.
She's looking for an analogy there and she can't
analogy?
Find one.
That's a big word for you, isn't
you
it?
You are so condescending. She's in one of those moods today. She's in a really, oh, she's going to take the mick out of me day. I might not be able to spell it, but I know how to say it. Right, here's let's get back to these poor people.
Here's what people were saying, right? Pam said, stop making me laugh. As I'm always running, I'm worried I will fall while laughing.
Oh, bless you.
Fabiola is normally in the gym listening at 7:30 a.m. What? Where there's usually five other people and she's working out and everyone is looking at her, wondering what's going on as she's howling with laughter. Katie said she actually laughed out loud alone in the middle of a field with her dog.
Oh, bless. I wonder what the dog thought.
Yeah. And Bronwyn in Dublin says her 13-year-old son sometimes listens in to us too. So I said that we should probably be better behaved.
Yes, do apologise. At least we're not allowed to swear on this, so we're not teaching him anything.
So hello to people who are listening from far and...
wide, oops, yeah.
Far and wide, that's the phrase, yeah. This is going to be painful, isn't it? Jenna Marie is in France. Cheryl or Cheryl? I don't know, I reckon it's a Cheryl. Because it's got a C, not an S.
I'd say Cheryl, because I've got two in my group spelled like that.
Okay. Cheryl, that's a
mixture
of both.
G'day, Cheryl.
Is in Australia, and she follows online. And then MC Jo is in Cyprus, because the groups are reopening there.
Oh, yes. They've been open for a while, haven't they?
Yeah. So then let's just kind of run through some of your wins, okay? So Jenny talked about her mom's 60th birthday.
I love this.
Right? And mom wanted all the family round. They wanted to have, or she wanted to have, takeaway curry. So Jenny and her sister are on Slimming World and they were like, oh, really want to do this, but don't want to jeopardise our weight loss. Let's take control here. And they went away and cooked boonas, tikkas, kormas. They got chutneys, they got kebabs, bhajis, samosas.
They fake-awayed it.
They absolutely fake-awayed it.
Oh, I love
and
that.
And looking at the sins on this is like sin-free, 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 one sin per portion, half a sin per teaspoon, half a sin per teaspoon, sin-free, sin-free, one sin per portion, sin-free. I mean, like,
sin-free.
Dude, you'd be just like, give me this. Why can we not have a buffet restaurant in Manchester that's open that everything is sin-free?
Let's do it.
Please.
But isn't that brilliant how your mum had a great birthday, got the food she wanted and you kept in control? I bet that was fun too.
Yeah. I loved
that.
So Tina also said that she's channeling her inner Anna voice as a consultant. Can you imagine that? So she says that her inner Anna voice is making her more effective with members.
Oh, that's lovely to hear.
I'm going to channel my inner Anna voice. For me, my inner Anna voice goes really cheesy and fabulous, gorgeous.
She's just in one of them moods. She'll soon be ringing when she needs me. She won't be channeling that inner Anna voice in a cheesy way, will she?
So Tina says, shout out to her member John, who's lost 17 stone. He's made his target weight. And actually, that was through lockdown.
I saw this on Instagram and I was like, to have the courage to lose 17 stone. Wow, congratulations, John.
Couple of the wins. So Kim in Daventry. This was really kind of like when he's going, whoa. So Kim in Daventry is disabled, joined in January 2019 and says that she could hardly walk. Fast forwards, and now she's 3 stone lighter, got a bronze body magic award, and can now walk around the house with one crutch. And the things that Kim has faced in the last couple of years, grief, cancer, dementia, caring for her parents. I mean, that is absolutely incredible. What a gift you gave yourself.
Congratulations, Kim. That's astounding.
Mm. Bikes have also been an interesting... you love sending those photos of your bikes. Just more... I like the way that you're kind of subtly saying, come on, Anna, if we can do it, you can.
So I got contacted by one of my members that I didn't know.
I think we should reset if people haven't heard the episode.
Oh, okay. So I decided to learn to ride a bike a couple of episodes ago. Claire made me get on her bike. I nearly crashed into a bush. I've never been the same since. I've ordered myself a bike.
Has it not come yet?
No, it's been held up. Thank God. October the 3rd, it's coming. Because I wanted a very...
It'll be winter.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to do it. I went for style. So I've gone for like a Dutch-style bike with a basket
that's sage
green.
So Chilton.
So... I don't even live in Chilton, do
I? She works in Chilton.
But one of my members contacted me and she teaches adults to ride bikes. It's while I'm in group, but she's given me some amazing tips and sent me some details of where I can get.
Gee, I dated a guy who actually did the lessons for this Learn to Ride scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then we went out on a bike ride and he was telling me like I was riding wrong.
Oh, no.
And I was like, we're on a date.
Oh, that's not
telling me how to ride my bike.
Oh, no. Lee said, soon is mended. So she was saying that there's a lot of adult places you can learn. And this is what this listener said, haven't they?
So Joanna sent us a picture on her bike. She's lost 6 stone and has fallen in love with her biking. And she says, if she could ride it, then so can Anna. Donna sent us a message. So this is something that local councils do. This is what Donna signed up for. She's learned to ride a bike at 38. Local councils run adult learn to ride sessions. And it is literally a case of Google Learn to Ride, and actually now she's going out most Saturdays.
Oh, I love that. Congratulations.
Yeah, and you know, like, some of it is on the road, some of it's not on the road, and
I'm planning nowhere
some
near
of it is
road.
One-to-one, some of it's group. It's really, really interesting. And actually I looked at doing it even though I could ride a bike. It was about developing more confidence in city riding and that kind of thing.
That's quite fearful. I'm quite fearful of that. I just want to be able to ride and not break my legs. I don't want to go near a road. It's not something I feel I should. I've just about mastered driving after 11 years. Don't make me do it on a bike.
But there's so many different trails that you can do it. Yeah. Like I say, the trail that we were on here, it goes on forever and ever and ever, and it's pretty flat.
I just want to be able to take days and, you know, Phil and just say, let's go for a bike ride, and that just not be an issue. Like, no, mummy's got to follow behind in the car or a tractor.
Yeah. You know, it's a bit like me because I was so afraid of dogs for many, many years that I thought of... walking through a park on my own, of walking down a trail on my own now.
Really?
And it's quite a tight space. You know, you can't cross the road in these trails. You have to walk past that dog. Whereas in the street, you can cross over.
The road,
so I'd learn avoidance techniques. But in a park or on a trail, you have to like learn to cope
deal with
it.
Them, yeah.
And I still struggle to take my hands out my pocket when I'm walking past a dog that I don't know.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that about you. And when we went out that day, we got a chihuahua that pooed right by us, didn't we?
I mean, they're all yap, no bite, aren't they, really?
Is it the bigger dogs you're scared of?
And you know what? It's just all...
Yeah, I could tell.
I don't understand animals. I was never really... grew up with animals, so I just don't understand how it works. And now I'm vegan, so...
I think if you've not been a pet owner or partaker, it's you're not... Yeah. But look, you learnt to eat fruit. You've never eaten that before. We might see you with a dog, a cat, a llama in the back garden and a goldfish soon.
I feel like this podcast just... when we listen to this in 3 years' time, we'll be like, God, that's so out of date, isn't it?
Because you'll have a llama, a cat, a goldfish. Yeah, totally. But you won't eat them. Right.
Right, who else? Nicola, with the lovely red hair, just got her 9 stone award. Congratulations.
She's amazing, this lady. Absolutely inspiring.
Amanda had one of those, who am I, moments when she was on holiday in Cornwall and she found herself running on holiday.
Wow.
She's completing week 7 of Couch to 5K and she was food optimising a meal on the barbecue.
How incredible are you? Because if you can do it when you're on holiday, nothing's going to stop you, is it?
I'm genuinely amazed by how many people are doing couch to 5K this year.
Yeah.
It just seems like, you know, it's like one of the most listened to podcasts. Obviously, there's the app, the program. It just feels like everybody is doing couch to 5K.
I think because it's doable.
Everybody. That's a ridiculous statement. But lots more people are doing than I've ever heard before.
I think it's because it's achievable and it's bite-sized chunks. It's like the Chihuahua steps like we always talk about. And I think it's that a really good place to start. I mean, I've downloaded the app and I've listened on my couch.
Yeah, but what you're doing with a PT, I think is actually more effective and probably a bit harder than running because you're using all your body.
Yeah. Because with my spine, it's not something I should do because of the impact. So I've gone just to pay someone to torture me.
Oh, lunges. Lunges are like, I mean, I really want, I'm going for the triple G.
Okay.
The triple G is greatest glutes of gloss up.
Oh, like it? I said to Steve yesterday, I just want a J-Lo bum. And that's what he kept saying. Just think J-Lo as I was lunging and squatting.
Lunging and squatting is like the way forwards.
It's not the way forwards, but it's the only way to get a J-Lo bum.
So you can't do burpees then?
No, I haven't done... I can do a burpee. I don't plan to do a burpee. Thank you.
Yeah, like my lower back. I've actually been weightlifting.
I know. Now talk to us about this because this is...
I never have considered myself a weightlifter.
But we said this before, didn't we? But you used to carry 6 stone around on your back.
Yeah. I'm like, dude... You just, you know, you're moaning about this. I had to carry that 24/7.
Yeah, so now what can you bench press?
I had to sleep with that. I had to sleep on my side with that.
Yeah. No, I think about that when my tummy used to come with me. Do you know what I mean? So talk to us about your
weightlifting.
Your
tummy would enter the building before you did.
And then you'd pick it up off the bed and you bring it with you.
Oh, yeah. No, it's lying in the bed on the side where like you'd have to like kind of hold your belly.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And it's not like when you're pregnant. Because when you're pregnant, you've got a nice, beautiful bump. When I was overweight, it was just fat.
It's still there, though.
Oh, yeah.
The belly is still... I mean, we're saying, like, we're kind of sticks here.
What are you talking about? I've got an 8-pack.
Do burpees like just people, you know, boil the kettle, but we're really not.
So talk to us about your weightlifting. What are you lifting?
So we do, like, kind of reverse squats. They're these things called clean and jerk, hand clean...
What's a clean and jerk? That sounds like another podcast.
Anyone who has heard, like, the kind of CrossFit world, I don't really know.
Okay.
I've got to be honest, there's a lot of abbreviations where I'm like, is that Game of Thrones?
Do you ever go home and Google things?
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of it right now, me in the gym, is me going, right,
cool. Google.
All right, now we just go
so
to the toilet.
So what's a reverse lunge?
A reverse lunge is where you put your leg backwards to go into a lunge.
Oh, my brain wouldn't handle that.
Whereas a front lunge is you put your foot forward and then go into a lunge.
So you're doing it backwards.
But you also do it with a barbell and some weight on your shoulders.
Oh, my God.
So the other day I couldn't lift my own head because I was like, I can't move my head because my neck was so tight. Matt said to me, what are they doing to you down there? Because I've got bruises on the tops of my thighs where you bounce the barbell.
Yes.
I've got bruises over my collarbone and my neck, so it looks very strange. So I've got like the jumper.
She says she's going to the gym.
The turtleneck jumper.
She's got the Love Bite jumper on, haven't you?
Just one of them was like an impressive, like you've got a rainbow jumper. My bruise was a rainbow in itself.
Oh, really?
I'd never seen colours like that in a bruise. But it's fun and it's close by, so I can walk within 10 minutes. The classes are only 30 minutes and whilst I'm working from home, a lot of the time I used to spend driving on trains. So I've replaced that time with, okay, now I can do the gym.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's you know, there's a lot of fear. I still feel the fear. When I leave this house, I'm like, I already know I'm going to be the worst in the class. And that's okay because a lot of the guys have done CrossFit for a number of years. They've been going for 2 or 3 years. But I had a conversation with some of the women the other day, and these women are pretty slim. You know, they're not like the kind of bodybuilder, humongous muscles or anything, but they're lifting double the amount of weights. And I just said to them, how do you do this?
Yeah.
And they were talking about their fear, that they still feel scared. They still have to push themselves. They still lack confidence in certain moves. And it was just really refreshing to kind of check out the reality of, okay, we're all feeling nervous.
Fear.
So I can support them as much as they can support me.
Yeah, totally.
And because quite often I think it becomes quite a narrow-minded, I'm going to the gym. I've got to get through this class. I don't want to look stupid. Watch, there's no mirrors in this gym.
Oh, there's so many in mine. I felt sick yesterday. I was like, every angle of lung.
It never looks good.
Oh, it never looks, especially when you're sweating and then you forgot your towel. I had to wipe my sweat on my blue top. It just wasn't attractive.
No, but then one of the girls who was super, super fit was talking about how she didn't like the way that her thighs looked in certain these leggings that she was wearing. Wow. And I was thinking,
I wish I had your thighs, love. Yeah.
Yeah. And another lady, she had the most shapely, amazing bum. And she was super strong in this competition thing that I went to go and watch. And she was like, I really feel very conscious about my bum. Wow. People often comment on it and it makes me feel a little bit nervous. And I thought, but it's amazing.
But isn't it interesting to watch? It's like you see that in Slimming World groups, the fear of going in and then everyone thinks you've got it nailed because you remember and you're losing weight, but actually you still feel the fear and you're going for Slimmer of the Week or whatever. It just because you've been doing it doesn't mean you lose that fear, does it? It's just a different one that comes.
I think whether it's going to Slimming World group or going to the gym, just turn up.
Yeah, just right? Keep going. Don't think about it too much.
If you turn up, then eventually I'm hoping it becomes easier, I become stronger, I become more confident. And I've said to myself, let's just go for this for 6 months.
Well, that's what the pledge I set myself yesterday when I started was, I've got to see this through. There is no quitting. Even on those days when you don't want to go, you've got to turn up. And some days you'll be brilliant and other days you'll probably do one lunge and that will be it. Do you know what I mean? But it's just the keeping going.
Interesting. I was talking with a friend like about for a woman and how her menstrual cycle can kind of affect when they're working out. So your iron levels drop, obviously, tired, bloatedness.
Want to stab someone, or was that just me?
But, you know, maybe that she was saying how there are some weeks around your menstrual cycle where you just won't be able to lift what you normally would.
Interesting.
So let the pressure go on those weeks because actually just how it is for women.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very interesting because you don't always think about that kind of stuff. You know, we talk about Star Week in Slimming World and how it can affect like your weight loss. So you want to think over the month. But when it in terms of like going to the gym, I often think session by session or like
not
week by week.
Enough,
I don't think, oh, this week is probably going to be where I feel more pain.
Yes.
When you're on your period, you feel more pain. And you're also tired. So you're not going to be able to like push as hard as you would.
I think you also, if you're anything like me, more sensitive, can get a bit more angry. So you could be a bit more horrible to yourself, couldn't you? And be like, God, you haven't lifted
you
it.
You lose the confidence.
You should never get your legs waxed as well on your period. It hurts more.
Yeah.
Sorry, boys. Right, where are we up to now?
Hillary sent us a picture as well of her doing her body magic. She was swimming in the sea every morning while she was on holiday in the Outer Hebrides.
Love this. So many of my members, I think there's 7 now, have started open water swimming because obviously the pools have been closed.
Yeah.
I love that, but the Outer Hebrides sounds incredible.
I went there.
You did?
That was
looked like tropical, didn't it?
I just got got a camper van and we went and rogue. And actually, I've got to say a thank you to the Vegan Slimming World Facebook group because
they were really helpful, weren't
they? There was a post on there that talked about what could you take when you go camping vegan.
And you just packed everything up, didn't you?
It was fantastic.
Like a supermarket.
I only put half a pound on for a 9-day holiday because of things like that. But we were like walking and we did a lot of mileage in terms of walking and stuff.
It's so much more enjoyable when you're somewhere beautiful like that.
You know what it is? There were no cafes, no pubs open. that's basically half my weight gain gone.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about this during the virtual thing, like actually a lot of our temptation's been taken away, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know, were you not tempted to take what Donna sent in to us? Because this was amazing.
I think this looks absolutely gross, right? A whole grilled sunflower head apparently looks a bit like corn on the cob, or could it be like corn on the cob?
Would you be up for trying it?
But sunflowers are really pretty.
You love sunflowers, don't you?
I don't know if love is a strong word. I'm not really that passionate about flowers.
But you wouldn't
and stuff,
eat one.
But it just looks really pretty, and I was like, I don't really want to eat something that looks that pretty.
But if it tastes like, oh no, whereas I think, oh, I'd like to eat something that looks pretty, I'm going to knock you one up. I've got 4 sunflowers
just
in the garden.
Trendy new speed food. I just think it's a waste of a sunflower.
Yeah, but imagine, so sunflowers don't have a long shelf life. So once they've flowered, they're not going to be flowered for forever, Claire.
Sure.
So we could cook it once it was ready to leave its sunflower home.
What kind of nutrients has a sunflower got in it?
I don't know off the top of my head. I've not done much research into nutrients in
sunflower. I mean, geez, I know we've gone from okra to banana blossom, but sunflower. I mean, where's this on the app? I'm going to type in sunflower onto the app, right? And I'm going to see.
It's going to come up with oil, isn't it?
Hang on. I've typed in sunflower.
Okay.
Seeds, sunflower, seeds, sunflower, seeds, sunflower, sunflower spread, sunflower spread, sunflower spread, sunflower spread, sunflower seeds, sunflower seeds. Sunflower margarine.
Donna, I'm going to cook her a sunflower.
Sunflower seed bar.
Donna, I'm gonna make her eat a face of a sunflower.
Sardines
in sunflower oil. I mean, I'm not a sardine fan, let alone in sunflower oil. And you're vegan, so maybe not the best thing to scroll
so
to.
So the moral story is that sunflower is not
listed as a free food.
No. Nope. We might need to check that, Donna.
But Donna, thank you so much.
Okay, right. It's time for a wrap. I feel like I'm going to enter some sexy music right now. Okay, so we actually had to practice this, and as Anna arrived, Matt was still here and we were eating our breakfast, and so we were chatting over sausages and coffee, and I gave Matt this rap, which Amanda sent to us, to attempt to practice for us. He was bad, wasn't he?
I mean, he wasn't bad, he just did it more in a rap style than a, like...
There was no
rhythm.
No.
But, you know, I think I would have been the same. You're exceptionally musical, so rhythm is your middle name.
Exceptional. Yeah. I'm going to brush my shoulder right now.
I'm the dyspraxic dyslexic with no coordination who can't rap.
Well, see, Amanda sent one about Anna, because that's what we said. I think was it last listener's questions? And, I said, let's get one for Anna to read.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And so Amanda sent us one about Anna, and then she's also then followed up with one for me.
But you did such a great job. I think you should do both. I think you do it justice. I think I could possibly...
Can you try and beatbox?
Beatbox? No!
Just boom. Just go boom, ch, boom, ch,
boom, ch, boom, ch. Boom.
Keep going, keep going.
Boom.
There was boom, a lady called boom, Anna who found boom, in her life a spanner. Boom, she joined boom, Slimming boom, World. No, that didn't work, did it? I mean, you gave it a good go. There was a lady called Anna who found in her life a spanner. She joined Slimming World several times, so we're told. And now she hands out the planner. There was a lady called Claire who found out she had a bit of a flair for facts and for figures, then would deliver us all to be more aware.
Love it.
It's a little limerick.
Yes, and I was trying to do it more as like a, yeah, holla.
Come on then, let's just hear your one.
Because
I want to hear it in
I
that.
I haven't got it written down.
Oh, jeez.
What is it? I can't see that blinking far.
There was a lady called Anna who found in life a spanner. Go on, do it in that voice.
There was a lady called Anna who found her life in a spanner.
Found her life in a spanner. It's a very small life that you're leading. Very narrow, small life. She joined Slimming World several times, so we're told.
She joined Slimming World several times, so we're told.
And now she hands out the planner.
And now she holds out the planner. Hoo-hoo!
There was a lot more movement that you were giving physically than like the you've got to channel it through your voice, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm all about the hand signals, not the voice.
There was a lot of hand action. That's really the wrong phrase, isn't it?
But you know what? Someone said to me in group this week, this is what we've really missed, Anna, because you've been in a little yellow box for 6 months and now we get to see you prancing around with your hands and we've missed it.
Wow.
Thank you for that.
So, we had a message from Mike
who was so cute.
Asked us to help his wife Caroline listen to the podcast and basically had hit a plateau.
Aww.
Working super hard. She's been really hard on herself and he wanted to get us to tell her that she really needs to see that she is making progress, to keep sticking with it and actually that maintaining is a win. And that he's really proud of her. And I think, you know the words. We sent a message to Caroline, actually, because she needed it probably about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
She's probably back on it right now.
Yeah, she's probably smashing it, lost half a stone.
But I imagine, like, I remember having now been a Slimming World member for nearly 3 years on this road. I remember August as a weird month as a member. Like,
so
a lot
odd.
Of people kind of took their foot off the gas or just disappeared. So maybe now people are returning in September, like, okay, back in the game, let's go. And we talked about, like, day one in last week's, but this idea about when people kind of plateau and then they just kind of think, oh, for God's sake, just
so frustrating,
give up.
Isn't it?
What do you say about plateaus?
I'd say most of it is psychological. And normally what I find in my experience is that it's because the corset is too tight. You're trying to be too perfect. And actually what we need to look at is easing up a little bit, maybe looking at doing things differently and going back and just really double checking, triple checking everything, actually. Because I hear a lot in groups, but I've always done the same thing. And maybe what we need to bring it back to is, was the way you started the best way possible? Is there anything we need to play around with? Is it that we need to look at, you know, what you're eating as snacks? Is it that we need to look at your protein content? Is it we need to look at your drinks? Is it that you need to add some activity in? And it could be something so tiny that you don't realise is inconsequentially holding you back. Is inconsequential even a word? No, I think I've just made that up. But what I meant to say,
it could be sabotaging.
Yeah, that's the word. So just looking at the little things, I would say if you're in a group, talk to your consultant, maybe look at a for and against list. But again, go with what your consultant, not for and against, an SAS log, and go with what your consultant kind of thinks is the best direction. But above all, know that you can kind of change things up and shake things up. As a consultant, having done this for so many years, I've gone back to absolute basics. And what I've realised of me is that I was expecting to get a weight loss, but then also thinking that I could get away with a cheeky few extra sins here, not measuring my milk there, and being really honest and just writing it down. I think going back to that very, very basic format of the three steps, and am I actually nailing each one of these?
It's a lot of it's about being quite humble, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't think I'd realised maybe the first or second time round that I did Slimming World that there are actually lots of different resources for you.
So many.
So, you know, like the journals, these things that you talk about, like the SAS logs.
All your tools, yeah.
And there's so many different things that the consultant has behind, like, you know, up their sleeve that they can whip out. And you need them at different times,
yeah.
Right? So I'd kind of say, like, the first couple of months is just getting your head around the plan.
Yeah. And I think that the first thing I would always look at with a member that they were struggling in my group is, let's strip it back. Let's have a look at your food optimising and see, have we got it all nailed? Is there anything? Because it could be a tiny little tweak.
Yeah.
It could be that you're eating a breakfast cereal that you think is a healthy extra and it's not.
That's what I did.
Do you know what I mean? Tiny little things. And if that isn't giving you results, my next step would be to look at an SAS log with you. So Slimmers Against Sabotage, and seeing is there something a little bit deeper going on. But above all, it's about having that open mind to going, I can change this. There just might need to be a few little tweaks that I'd make.
Good advice. Hope that helps you, Caroline. Let us know how you're getting on, whether you've got back on the wheel.
And well done to
wagon.
Mike.
Wagon.
Wheel.
I said it again.
What's happened to us
I
today?
I don't know.
I mean, it's that activity. I blame it on the gym. Blame it on the gym, baby.
I can't afford the copyright.
Oh, sorry.
I told you about this.
Sorry.
Right, Katie describes herself as a member back from the wilderness. And Katie says she's just discovered the podcast. And she said that she was scared to join because she was a previous Target member. And actually she felt ashamed at how much she'd gone and gained.
Oh, darling.
But she's really glad that she took the plunge. She's gone back and she's listened to pretty much most of the podcast, as many of you seem to be doing.
I know.
Binging.
Yeah.
Someone at her group recommended listen to the podcast. So she's just catching up, but she's back. That's the main thing.
Well done. That's a hard thing to decide when you've been a Target member that you're going to take the plunge. Can I just say, as a consultant, especially post-lockdown, do you know what? Doesn't matter. You having the courage and the strength to absolutely embark on your journey, as Claire and I have done many a time, is the most important thing. Never, ever, ever be embarrassed, because I can guarantee that there will be so many people in the room that's been in the same position.
Yeah. And we got some facts as well. So a lot of the things that we've been talking about in recent weeks has been, yeah, not get complacent with the plan. Mm. We've been opening the book and going reading through it. And reading it, yeah. And actually looking for things that we'd never heard of, we've yes. never tried of, and using those things as... like, where do we get them? How can we build a recipe around that? And as we've kind of been learning, it sounds like some of you are starting to do the same. You get a little bit more curious, a little bit more confident in your cooking. Harp senses a fact actually about Okra, who she's also getting married next month too.
Oh, congratulations. Yes. Does that mean this month?
No, October.
Oh, okay.
So Harp basically said, from an Indian heritage, my mother has always given our family okra with other veg for dinner since my childhood. It's one of my favourite meals, and the spices that my mum includes, just yum. We call them pindia, and only in my adulthood I actually learnt the English word for them.
Oh, wow.
And here we were like, what's okra? Never heard of it. Yeah. And it was in the frozen section of the world food part.
Yeah.
And it looks like, to me, mini little courgettes. And I've just thrown them as extra greens.
They're
and
brilliant.
They don't really taste of much, but no. they're when we look in the book, dude, they've got like every symbol going.
They are like a...
I'm like, give me that.
They are like dynamite.
Yeah, that's bad though.
No, like, dynamite for weight loss, it's going to, like, bang it out.
Oh, I see. Thanks for clarifying that. It's just dangerous.
I wasn't saying go and get some dynamite. I was like, yes, okra has power.
Right, so then Anne sent us a message about ugly fruit. I had to, you know, cross-reference this.
Yes.
You know, as a journalist.
Of course.
Ugly fruit actually doesn't exist.
Oh?
Ugly fruit is really a tangelo.
A tangelo.
But ugly fruit is a brand name.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's like a well-known vacuum cleaner is what we call a Hoover, isn't it? And actually it's a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Wow, that's going to get confusing, isn't it? So tangelos, you have an odd shape. They're wrinkly, green, yellowish, or sometimes russet skin. You should take a bite of the sweet, juicy flesh, which will tantalise your taste buds. You will love their sweet, tangy flavour. So this is the stuff that, like, she sent us, like, a screenshot of all of this.
It looks like a lime and a, what's the word? Grapefruit.
Yeah, together. But I don't think that's the scale. I mean, I think it's pretty big.
Oh.
So a tangelo, there's another word. So maybe we should get Slimming World to change the name. It should say tangelo.
We'll talk to the people we know.
So thanks for that, Anne. Amazing. Marion, we also tried peas pudding, right, in a tin. And my God, we had a lot of people in the North East laugh at us.
Like, what the hell are you doing, girls?
Marion talked about, so because people had said about like making this into like a pastry. Mm. I was like, how? It looks like mushy peas. How does it go from mushy peas into pastry? So she sent us the recipe, which basically you get the tin of peas pudding, add some mixed herbs and an egg, press it all down into a like a pie dish or a quiche dish, and then that's basically it.
I did it in a different way. I didn't put the filling on top. I just made a crust.
Oh.
So that it didn't go soggy.
Right.
Do you see what I mean? Because if you got anything wet inside, I felt it just was going to, the bottom was going to fall out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it wouldn't be a tweak if you
I mean, it's not going to be like a buttery biscuit base, is it?
It's not a buttery biscuit base, no. But it's quite a crunchy topping.
So yeah, so Marion, that was peas pudding.
Who knew?
Oh my.
Has it changed your world, Claire?
Yeah.
Has it?
I don't know. I mean, I'd have a peas pudding once every 6 months. I'm not sure it's going to be part of my staple.
You can make a soup out of it. That's what I'm going to do.
The thing is, now I'm wondering, like, can I actually make a pastry crust out of mushy peas? Because they're basically the same.
No, but it doesn't hold in the same way, Claire.
All right.
It's got a
green pastry.
No, but it's got a substantial strength of peas pudding that mushy peas doesn't have.
But it's peas.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is its consistency is consistent with making something that will hold up. Mushy peas are a bit floppy.
You can send your emails into how to respond to that to slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to move on.
Do you know when you think back and you think...
I mean, you said consistently consistent.
But you know when
you think... Consistency consistent.
A Slimming World consultant will know what I mean. You come out of group sometimes and you think... banger, that was a good one, I was on fire. And then you come out of group sometimes and you're like, oh, wow. And today I feel like this podcast is like a runaway train. It's run away from me. And breathe. Vine leaves.
Yeah, vine leaves, thank you. Lots of you sent us recipes. I mean, I'm still kind of, I just can't find the non-stuffed ones still. I'm still looking out. Some of you sent recommendations that have been going to places. I can't
find a naked
but
vine
I didn't
leaf.
Really get that excited about them.
No.
I feel like I tried it, I thinned it, it's okay. I'm ready to let that go.
I reckon if you stuffed your own, it'd be better.
I'll stuff you.
No, but I think, you know what I mean? If you used it and you got it and you could make your own, it'd be, a vine leaf would be really nice. You know, you do your like oven baked risotto-y things.
Yeah.
That, if you stuff that in a vine leaf with a bit of vegan cheese, I reckon would pack a punch.
Can you just put like a big spinach leaf?
You could, but I'm talking about vine leaves.
Okay.
Okay.
And also vine leaves have loads of letters, don't they?
They pack a punch. They're like dynamite
too.
They do.
Okay. Right. Sarah Smith actually talked, we were talking about planning.
Yes.
And hearing your ideas of how you go about planning. How detailed do you get?
Love this idea.
So Sarah basically says, right, you get 31 meals, write it on a piece of paper, stick it in a tub. Every week, pick out 7 and that's your tea sorted for
Love
the week.
It. One of my consultant friends, Amanda, she does it on lollipop sticks and they put them in a pot. And they pick them out. It's lovely.
Really? I don't think I could think of 31 meals.
Well, what they did was they got all the books and stuff off the website and they just wrote it on the sticks. The really big tip, though, if you're doing it from a book, this is what Amanda said, write the page number on.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise you go, chicken tikka masala, you can't remember what book and what page number it was.
That's my one critique of the Slim and Will books. Why is there not a contents page?
There is.
There isn't.
There isn't
a contents page at the start.
There's an index at the back.
Yeah, but I want to open the first page and be like, right, which recipes are in this one? Yep, there it is. Okay.
Oh, you don't want to go to the back?
No.
Oh, okay.
I like a nice menu. That's all. I mean, maybe I'm just being too picky.
Yeah.
It's obviously something they thought about. And yeah.
Yeah, index at the back.
Messages, questions that people talk about. Amy is a Diamond Target member. Boom. Oh. Nailed this emotional comforting eating.
Perfect.
I didn't write that very well, did I?
No.
In fact, she's replaced emotional eating with exercise. So she's finding better habits. Okay. However, at the moment, she's really struggling because she is post-breakup.
Oh.
So she doesn't really have a big appetite. So she's held off exercising because she doesn't want to feel dizzy. And she just put, how do I cope? And this really jumped at me because, yeah, when I really struggle with breakups, I would just completely lose my appetite. Other people go other ways, don't they? They just want to stuff themselves and, you know, you just want to eat to kind of fill the hole. For me, I was like, I just can't stomach anything. I would go like a couple of days with just not really wanting to eat anything. And eventually I knew I had to because I'd start getting headaches.
Yeah,
and
feel dizzy.
You need the fuel, right? You know what? I just think in this kind of time, maybe there'll be like 3 or 4 meals that you really, really enjoy.
Yeah.
And you just have those.
Do you know, when I had my first nervous breakdown, I didn't eat like for like 4.5 months. I was so, so poorly. And that's how Mum started to get me to eat again. She's like, what's your favourite thing? And have something you really, really look forward to rather than thinking, I've got to do 3 meals a day and I've got to do this. Just start to eat the food optimised things that you love. But also don't stress about it. Like, don't worry, because your appetite will come back. And also, maybe say to yourself, I'm going to try this week to have breakfast today. And set yourself something that you can tick off that you'll achieve, because then the fear will go a little bit that you can't. But no, that feeling won't last for forever. I think I remember when you had a breakup and watched you just won a title, hadn't you? Just become crown woman of the year and almost, like, put your energy into something else. Focus on something positive that you can achieve rather than thinking about that. Like, you know, I had it with grief and dad dying, trying to just channel forward and think about something you can tick off in a box.
Yeah, see, Kerry sent a message as well about grief. And she was asking us, like, how do we food optimize successfully whilst grieving? You know, a couple of rough months, two friends died suddenly. And then her nan passed away.
Oh, I'm
and
so
she knows she's just struggling to focus. She just wants to binge or get drunk, but knows the guilt will overwhelm her as well as the grief. Just wondered if you have some tips. I mean, the breakup thing is almost slightly... There's elements here that kind of coincide with
They're
each other.
They're like grief, aren't they? Yeah.
But there's also with the breakup thing, sometimes I felt the pressure, like if I saw my ex, I wanted to...
Look the best.
Look great.
Yeah.
But then I've been in the point where with the emotion, like kind of managing, it could be hour to hour. And then like you kind of feel really great for an hour and then a song comes on. Or you see something on telly and boom, you're back down there and you're like, but an hour ago I was okay and now I feel like this. Mm. And so you can kind of set up these
like great
plans, can't you? Mm. And you just have to do, you just have to say, right, let's look at overall today. 50% of the day was okay. And the breakup that I had a couple of years ago, I remember I got to about 6 weeks where I cried every single morning because it's almost like I remembered.
Yeah, when you wake up from your sleep.
I was like, is it a dream? And then I'd remember, no, it wasn't. And it was like not just the pain for that relationship, but all for all the breakups that I'd had and all the hopes and the dreams that had been crushed. And then after about 6.5 weeks, I remember waking up and it was about like, I don't know, midday. And I thought, I didn't cry this morning.
Wow.
And that felt like a huge success.
Where I had something similar with the crying.
Could I have a certificate for that?
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I used to, after Dad died, it was a very different headspace for me because I found out 12 hours later I was pregnant. So I had that focus of I've got to look after my body for my baby. But then I made myself an agreement because when I went back to work 10, 11 days after Dad died, that I would allow... Like I could only cry a certain amount of times. Anna, you can have 3 cries today. Because then it would stop me, because for me, grief came in such waves that it would stop me being taken away by it. And it would allow me to say, right, Anna, you've cried today. Come on, sort this out. And it gave me another sort of focus. Also to tell the people around me, look, I'm not really being great at eating. Can you help me out? Also, I really feel like I want to binge. I want to do this so that other people could watch out for me. That helped too. But above all, give yourself a break. Cut yourself some slack. Grief sucks. Mm. Like a breakup sucks. And actually, it may be one of the times in your life where you can't hold it all together. And if food optimizing is something that has to slip a little bit, that's okay. But also remind yourself that you maybe want to stay on track for more reasons than the weight loss. It's a sense of control. But one day at a time, I would say.
See, I remember in one of the groups, there was a lady who lost her mom. And, you know, she had a really kind of quite a prestigious job.
Mm.
And but she was really struggling to get into it. And it was like biscuits and chocolates. And she just wasn't losing weight. But she still came to group every week.
That was her touch base. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was amazing to kind of see her now and how different she is. But that was a dark, dark time for her. But she still came because she needed to feel connected. And for people who understood about what the emotion side of eating really does for you.
Yeah, it's huge.
And how it changes and goes up and down. And you're like a pendulum. When I'm bored, I'll eat loads. When I'm heartbroken, I won't eat anything.
Mm.
And just to kind of be in the room with people who can nod and say, oh my God,
I've been there. Takes the pressure off, doesn't it? A bit like, oh God, I'm normal.
But then I think what you say about the control thing is interesting because there were times where I thought, I can't control all the other things happening in my life, but I can control what food I put between my lips.
Yeah.
And so am I going to take responsibility for that, or am I going to continue to blame the circumstances around me for continuing to not look after myself, not look after my health, and not lose weight?
It's quite empowering when you take that control back, though.
It's also quite scary because actually you realise, oh, I can do something about this.
Yeah.
And it's easier sometimes to blame other things, other people, other circumstances.
Yeah.
But the reality is, you know, you're the one that's putting the chocolates, the crisps or not in your mouth. So that can be quite overwhelming.
And also you don't have that thing to block the pain with anymore.
No.
Because that food can't push it down.
And that's where, because I cried every single day, I think previously I'd just probably go jump into another relationship
or just go out
with my mates and just try and squash it down and forget, overeat to compensate.
Yeah.
Actually, I had to really face that. And that was the reason that I cried every day, because I really looked down the barrel at why is this so painful?
Yeah.
And that's how you crack things. That's how you get on top of it.
Yeah.
So, I really feel for you.
But know that you're going to feel better.
Kerry and Amy. Yeah.
You are going to feel better. The tears will dissipate. The struggle will feel less. So, you know, just keep reminding yourself of that. And because I remember someone saying to me when Dad died, it won't always hurt this bad. And I thought, nah, the pain's always going to be like a searing pain. And it isn't. You learn to live with it.
Yeah. So we also had a message via Insta from a lady called Katie. And Katie had been listening to an episode in our back catalogue, episode 35, which is all about being gluten-free on Slimming World. Mm. And we have got to be honest, we were quite nervous.
I was going to say,
and she sent this message. It was like a video. And we were like,
sugar.
Oh my God, have we said something wrong? Because we take what we, you know, every bit of information that we say, we do some research. We know we want to get it right. We're not just kind of flinging facts at you willy-nilly.
Not cowboys.
But that one, we were not officially sponsored by Slimming World. So it was based on our own research, our own knowledge. And we wanted to talk about what is it life like in terms of the options that you have and why on gluten-free. I mean, I think I even asked you the question of, so does it make a difference if I have gluten-free? Is it healthier if I pick gluten-free or not? And Katie was listening to this and she has been gluten-free or has to be gluten-free for a number of years. And it's a pretty big, serious deal. And in her video, she talked about why, the impact it has. But she also said that she geared up listening to that podcast thinking, I'm going to be annoyed by this. They really should, I hope, know what they're talking about, and was ready to be like, ready to complain to us. Dear Anna and Claire. Anyway, she listened to the episode and said that we had it spot on.
Oh, I'm so
glad. I say we. It's your area of specialism, I think. More than mine.
Yeah, I'm so glad we did it justice, because I know there's nothing worse than when you've got an illness and you hear someone talking about it and they've got it totally wrong and you think, you're not living this on a day-to-day basis, so... Yeah, I'm glad that we got it right for her.
See, what I also found interesting about Katie was how she was mentioning about how the impact it has, not just for food, but also like for makeup, you know, and like the isolation that causes, like from having to, you know, go around friends' houses and they might innocently think, oh, it's only a little bit, you'll be fine. But the impact that has, and even as she recorded that video, she was already getting ulcers. So somewhere, although she was so careful,
it's crept in.
Something was there. So, I mean, I thought that was really powerful, and it really made me think very differently. And that idea about, you know what, if you can have gluten and you're not intolerant, then go for it. There's actually some benefits having gluten. Yeah. I'd never thought about that.
Don't cut food groups out. It's not.
If you don't need to.
Yeah. Don't do it.
Yeah. So let's have a look then. Next question is from Beth. And Beth was talking about, she's on a long journey. She is losing 8 stone. She lost 8 stone. I can't find her email now. Where is it? She's lost 8 stone. You got it there?
She's lost it. She's lost 8 stone, yeah.
She's lost 8 stone, but she kind of had to step away. She just fell out of the love with the Slimming World. She even went to a competitor.
It's okay.
It's all right. She went and she thought that a competitor might know more about how to do it. You know when sometimes we're just like, you're just desperate just to get it done, aren't you?
Yeah.
And she just fell out of love with it. And then she ended up coming back to Slimming World during lockdown because she just wanted something that didn't feel like a diet. Mm. But she kind of asked the question to you, Anna, about this idea of, you know, falling out of love and just losing momentum. Is this something that you see with long-term members?
It's a really interesting one because I see sometimes, as a consultant, I'm looking out for warning signs. So I'm looking for when a member potentially could fall. So I'm listening to them in image therapy, I'm seeing their weight losses change or whatever. So I'm trying to almost help them before they get to the fall, before they feel that they need that break, so that we can put really great strategies in place. But I think the thing we've got to recognise is that it's blinking hard, isn't it? It's so tough. And this is why I called Target so many times, because I was out of fire. I was out of the drive to get the next bit of weight. So I had to park it for a little bit, a few weeks, a few months sometimes, to say, actually, I've now got the fire to proceed. So what I see are many different things, and hopefully I catch a lot of people before they feel that need to stop or take a break. But I think it's very individual, and it's very important you recognise in your head, and you felt this, Claire, in recent months, as a slimmer losing a lot of weight, you don't have that drive of the unhappiness, of the fear, of all those things when you've lost so much. You're also knackered. You've been on that train for a long time. You also probably have made all the changes that you feel you want to make or should make. So it's quite natural, I'd say, wouldn't you, just to go down tools for a minute?
Yeah, you know, like Betsy is talking about how she probably kind of started manipulating the system.
Yeah.
She kind of knew the plan really well and knew how to kind of cheat it a little bit, so like instead of having a biscuit and using a sin, she'd go and eat like just three packs of chicken because it was free. And it's like, just eat the biscuits.
Yes,
that's what normal
totally.
If there's such a word as that,
yeah,
people do. Yeah, yeah, you do start to go a bit mad,
or you do things like put enforced rules in, so like I'd only eat the speed free. And actually, if I'd had a banana and some grapes, I wouldn't have eaten the chocolate bar because I would have been satisfied. But I was thinking I had to do these things, or like doing too much SP, or, you know, feeling like I was on a diet. So not enjoying the journey. And I think that's a really, really key thing. If you are caught up so much in it being so hard, then it feels like you want it to end. Whereas if you take each day and thinking, like, since you become vegan, it feels to me like you've enjoyed your food so much because you've tried so many new things. So enjoying the moment can kind of take that pressure off.
Yeah, I think I'm now enjoying the vegan thing. But initially, I was like, is this just another way to restrict myself? Am I adding more rules to tell myself that I can't?
Yes.
I can't eat that chocolate. I can't eat that cake. Am I just make it even harder for myself.
Or were you being clever and saying, actually, this is another diversion tactic. Actually, if I become vegan, I can't have these things. So I've pulled them away. It's a way of going, I can't have them without having a choice.
Yeah.
Because does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, actually, I don't have eggs because I can't have them because the eggs would have been deep fried and come with X, Y, and Z. Or, you know, I can't have the butter.
Yeah. I mean, it just
might have been brighter.
Sometimes it makes it easier, to kind of just say, that's not an option for me.
Yeah.
It's
interesting, isn't it? But, darling,
Beth,
you're not alone.
I so get that.
Yeah, both of us get. Why do you think I've joined 4,888 times?
Oh, my goodness. Right, Helen talks about tips on journals. Ask for advice, which ones cover moods, not just food?
Ooh, that's
see, with the journal, I've got so many. Oh, my goodness, I must have about five.
She just showed me, yeah.
I've got five. But then the one I come back to is I've got one that feels nice.
I think journals are very individual.
Also, I like it blank. There's some where it asks you lots of questions.
I don't like those.
For me, it's a lot of noise because sometimes you just need to kind of sit and think, what am I thinking today? And I draw and I do circles and sometimes I do bullet points and sometimes I do like long waffly paragraphs and I just kind of get it out. But the thing about the moods is quite interesting because, you know, like, so I really like the book that you got as you go back to group, back together.
Brilliant.
This is your time. I like the way it's highlighted, your time. It's 4 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got the food diary. It's over two pages, a little bit bigger than previous
ones.
And
got your healthy extras in.
It's got activity.
Yeah.
But see, there's not really a lot of room for notes. It could do with like a notes
section.
Yeah. Like instead of activity, maybe notes. Where you
or
put activity
and notes.
Mood. You draw a little face of how you did.
So,
I can't see. Because you've talked about moods before.
Yeah, so
you?
I did a food mood diary with my members in
food
lockdown.
Mood.
Food mood. So every time I ate, wrote down what the mood was and the time as well. So I don't think you need a glamorous, gorgeous journal that's got it all written in. I think you could make your journal be what you want it to be, couldn't you? Because for me, like, I've got ones like this that's got stickers in it. I've got all sorts of things in it. It depends on my mood, what I want to do. Some days you want to write loads. Some days you just want to go, this is my food. Sometimes you want, this is my mood. Sometimes you don't want to do it at all. You know what I mean? I'd make your own, love. Get some stickers.
Write your name and your phone number at the start, though, because then if you take it out when you lose it, you've got a chance that it could come back to you.
But never write your address, because that means you could get burgled.
So the what I'm intrigued. So because Slimmerwood obviously does loads of journals. What are they now?
Well, no, we only do one journal. The blue one. Which is the blue... Has it changed colour? Yeah, the 12-week planner.
Okay.
That's what Slimming World does. But there's loads of other journals out on the kind of... This is actually not a food-related journal, but I just like this journal because it had, like, tabs in it.
There's tons of planners online,
yeah,
isn't
there? I think it's about finding what's right for you, but I'm with you, a bit of a blank book sometimes is just the best thing where you can pour your mind out. But I like colour, so I have all different colour pens. I like a sticker.
It's just keeping it simple. You know, don't put the pressure on yourself to write in it every day.
Yes, that was the biggest thing for me.
Sometimes I'll write in it 4 or 5 times a day. Yeah. Every time I'll go days
don't
without
need it.
It. Yeah. I'll put my work notes in there amongst my deepest, darkest thoughts.
Yeah. It's interesting when you look back.
My holiday memories are next to my food plan for the week.
Yeah.
And that's okay because it's your journal.
Yeah.
And then date it. Keep dating it because it's very interesting when you kind of go back and revisit journals from 2 or 3 years ago. Like I was saying to you, I found one that was written in 2017 and it kind of had my health, my finance, my career goals back then. And I realised actually they're the same as what I want now, but I'm doing it.
Yeah, it's mad,
and that's nice as a, you know, a kind of a, oh, that's where my head was a few years ago.
Mad, isn't it?
Yeah. Melin Romford says, is grinding oats a tweak or is it still a hex B?
No, it is still a healthy extra B, but I would just be mindful. I think it's more filling to keep the oat whole. So I would, I personally don't grind much.
Pancakes is really nice when you
because the healthy extra is a set amount and it's still got the same fibre and you're safe, but I always try and keep it whole just because it will keep you more full.
Yeah, I mean, like if you grind it, it looks like just a small bit of powder, doesn't it? Whereas if you leave it not blended, it eyes wise it looks better.
Yeah, eyes wise I like that. Yeah,
but it depends if you like it smooth, because for a pancake grinding your oats is definitely nicer.
Yeah. But I think I'm going for satisfying power.
And waffles as well. I've got a waffle mould.
I got a waffle maker. Yeah.
Oh, wow. But that's a nightmare to wash up.
Yeah, shove it in the dishwasher.
Do you put the...
For you?
Wow.
Yeah, you've got the removable plates. I don't put, like, the electrical waffle. Like... She really thinks I'm thick.
So, Jill, okay, to finalise this episode...
To finish...
Well, that's what I mean, you're like, you guys have gone. Yeah, 80% of the way through you went. Oh my God, it's total karma, Jill says, but I needed to share. I absolutely howled laughing at the black butterfly incident on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. Lo and behold, last night, I was watching a movie when the biggest black moth I've ever seen flew through the window and was attacking me like a World War II fighter jet. My husband was in fits of laughter as I kamikazed over the sofa and armed myself while screaming with a cushion and Dettol all in one spray. Luckily, my husband managed to get it out of the house. I woke up my kids in the process. I take my laughing at you back.
Karma, Jill.
Karma. Well, that's been Slimming World Listeners Questions September 2020 episode. Next week, we are back talking...
Drink.
I thought you were going to do it in the Father Ted voice.
What's that?
I've
never watched Father
Drink.
Ted.
Drink! You've never watched Father Ted? No. That's your homework this week.
Is it funny?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes. Very funny.
I've always stayed away thinking people say it's funny, but it's not.
The 10% of our listeners who are in Ireland are suddenly like, she can do a fake Irish accent, but she's never
Irish
watched
family.
Father Ted. Oh, isn't that what everyone says?
No.
Ireland?
My family
We've heard it all, right?
In Southern Ireland.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's what this is genuinely what everyone in the world says. Yeah, my family are
Oh
Irish.
My gosh, they do.
I'm so sorry for her. I'm really sorry. We're going to end it now so you can all live your lives and be free from Anna and Claire for a little bit. Next week we are talking drinks. Could drinks be sabotaging your weight loss without you even realising? With some facts and figures, some shocking stats, and also a lovely little quiz for you too. Have a wonderful week. Goodbye.